We're doing a class on the Jewish home. Last week we had discussed the idea that in the beginning marriage is difficult. The beginning could be the first year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. It takes time until things actually settle down. And we discussed the idea that a person has to mind over matter, make a conscious decision. I'm not going to contemplate divorce. I'm going to think about how to make it work, not will this work. Our natural inclination is to think this is not working. I don't know how I can manage with this person. No one else has to put up with this. That's natural, right? That's the way everyone feels. And when you're there, you're going to think back to this class and say, yeah, but this is worse. This isn't what he was talking about. And the truth is that everyone has their challenges. You know, we're all human. And the truth is that happiness in marriage is really based on security in marriage. And as you develop your security, as you develop that feeling, this is it. We're going to be together for life. We're going to have ups, we're going to have downs. It's going to be better, it's going to be worse. There are going to be fun times and better times. But we're together for life. When that becomes a given, that's when you could really enjoy marriage. When that's an obvious. So then there are hardships. There are still difficult moments. The Gemara discusses that there are difficult moments, but it doesn't matter. And what you have to establish initially, it's not natural. Initially, the natural thing is, forget it. Give me a break. What do I have to put up with this for? That's a male weakness. The Talmud says men have a tendency to want out. Men have a tendency to be fed up. That's a male weakness. Well, what we left off with last week is the important rule that we are never allowed to discuss divorce at home. That the idea of mentioning divorce is a person is making fissures, he is making slight cracks in the foundation that he's trying to build. Just mentioning it is doing something very harmful to the marriage. By mentioning it, what you're saying is, no security. I could live life without you. The message we're trying to build so dearly is, I could not live life without you. I could not succeed without you. Now, back in your mind, you know when she knows that you could. Everyone knows that there are divorced men out there, there are single men out there. Yes, we could, right? But what we're trying to create is that sensation, that understanding, that feeling that I this is so meaningful to me. This is what I want in life. There's no way I want to envision life without you. Ah, but don't you hate me? Isn't it tough? Aren't you upset at me? I might be upset. I might be bothered. Divorce is not part of the equation. And that's a critical, critical point. People who threaten with divorce, talk about divorce, in the end, they have taken away the most basic point which creates marriage. You want a marriage to work, you have to be dedicated to making it work, and the word divorce cannot show up in the home. And this has to be a cardinal rule, and even when you're really upset, and what's really aching in your heart is that feeling, maybe we should get divorced. You're really thinking that. You heard this class, and you know you shouldn't be thinking that, but what can you do? You're really upset. Take control of your mouth, and don't say it. Don't say it. It doesn't matter if you're thinking it. So we said mind over matter. You have to get used to stopping to think it. Now, those of us who come from broken homes will have a harder time with this. And that means we have to work harder at not saying the word divorce. It has to be something that we've decided. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how upset I'm going to be. I will not use that word. That is not something to be discussed. That is not a threat. And even if I feel like maybe we should be discussing divorce, well, I'm going to force myself not to discuss it. Give me a call. Sit down with me for an hour before you bring it up with her, okay? But don't bring it up with her. And it doesn't matter how upset you are. And it doesn't matter how confident you are that yeah, that's what she's saying. Now, what happens when she makes a joke about it? She says something. So that's when you should say, please, don't even joke about such a thing. I don't want to even hear a joke about such a thing. When you react harshly, what you're telling her is, you're so special to me, I can't even think about such a thing. I don't want to even joke about such a thing. And don't joke about it. When you joke about things like that, you never know where it ends up. You don't joke about it. There are things that are not said around the house. And we have to make a conscious decision. Again, the natural human inclination is the exact opposite. You make jokes, you make insinuation, you start teasing. I heard the Rabbanut's having a sale this week. They're making it cheaper for those who want to get divorces on Sundays or Mondays. It's Tuesday, don't worry. What? Doesn't matter what joke. There's nothing that's worth it. And the hurt that you apply when you say that is unfathomable. And again, I've seen more than once where people have said it to their spouse and the woman was so hurt by it that they couldn't rectify the damage for years until ultimately they got divorced. The husband couldn't undo what he had done with that one word. He tried and he tried and it didn't help. She was hurt to the core. How could you imagine life without me? You could imagine life without me. Okay, so everything I thought we were building. This was a couple that was married. They had grandchildren already. But he said it once and she was so hurt by it. And again, I saw it more than once.
They were a young couple?
No, he said it when they were old. They were already married 20 years, more than 20 years. They had already married off some of their kids. They already had grandchildren. And then at one point, they had an argument, and he said it to her. He said something to that effect. And she was so hurt by it, he could never fix it. And it took a number of years, but their relationship kept deteriorating. And then they did get divorced. And he didn't want it. Until today, he regrets it. So you're taking something out of a Pandora's box. There's always room to say it later. And again, the amount of pain you're inflicting in that moment is something that's unfathomable to the male mind. We don't understand what we're saying when we say such a lie. No. Yes?
I heard this from Bresla, that he says, about hurting a woman. He says, the difference between a man and a woman is, what we're made of in the Torah. Like, the man is made of sand. And if we say the argument, that the man has an argument, and you make a scratch into sand, the wind blows over it and it's gone. If you say you're sorry to a man or something, he forgets it, like the argument happened. But woman is made of a rib. So if you scratch a rib, it stays. That's the difference between a man and a woman.
Okay. So now let's talk about the positive, the inverse.
Marriage.
Hashem created a woman. It says, "Vel ishech teshukatech." She has an unquenchable thirst. You will never be able to satiate that need for her to have security. You could never tell her in enough ways or enough times that you love her, that she's important to you, that you miss her. What?
Emotional security.
I'm saying you have to say it over and over and over again and find new ways to say it. The idea that you cherish her is something that she needs to hear again and again and again and in every opportunity. And there is no conversation you will have where this isn't a part of the conversation. You're going to say, your mother made excellent meat this Shabbos, and she's going to say, so my meat isn't good? You're going to say, wait, I didn't say anything about your meat. Your meat is delicious, but we were just by parents' this past Shabbos, and your mother's meat was good. Why do I always have to be defensive? I just said something positive, right? Pause. Because at the end of the day, she needs that security. And you always have to think about, in every conversation, she wants to hear that. Let's take some obvious examples that men miss.
How do you not be patronizing there?
You're going to call home and say, I just discovered I didn't finish the project that's due tomorrow. I have to stay at work another hour. She's going to say, so you don't love me. You're going to say, but you think I don't want to be home? I don't understand. You see, you're starting to argue the male way. The male logic is, you said I don't. I'll tell you I do. I don't understand. Did I say I don't? I explained it to you. Aren't you a mature adult? I told you there's a project. I told you there's another hour of work. Why do I have to be on the defensive now? You're not on the defensive. What did she just say? She just said, did you tell me you love me? Did you strengthen my security? The conversation has to begin with, you know I love you. You know I wish I were home now. I can't believe I have to stay another hour. Because to us, the relationship is a part of our life, and work is a part of our life. To her, the relationship is everything. It's all of life. And there's nothing that isn't relevant to the relationship. So every conversation has to begin with the relationship. So you're going to call home and say, I have to stay an hour later at work. What you have to say is, you know how much I miss you? You know how hard it is to stay here tonight? I just discovered I have to stay another hour. Oh, I feel so bad for you. That's the response you'll get. That's the response you want to hear, right? But you're not going to get it otherwise. You call home and say, there's traffic here like crazy. I'm not going to get home for another 20 minutes. You know what a stuffy bus I'm on? So she's going to say, oh, so you didn't leave on time and you don't care to eat dinner with the kids. Wait a second. Don't you understand? I told you, we're stuck in traffic. Can't you commiserate? Start the conversation differently. You know how much I want to be home with you? You know how hard it is to be stuck on this bus? To make it worse, the bus is stuffy and I'm going to be 20 minutes late. Now you're going to get all of that compassion, all of that commiseration that you want.
How do you not be like patronizing her?
But it's true. It's just an aspect you wouldn't think of mentioning. It's the truth. If you think about it, you'll see it's been meant true. And this is part of where men can learn from women. To us, the relationship is on the side. It's like, it's a part of my life. Fine. To them, it's everything. And when we learn to talk this way, we also learn to make it everything. It's important for us to learn. You're going to go to the store and do a shop. And they're not going to have what you were supposed to buy for Shabbos. And you're going to come home and she's suddenly going to make it very personal. And you're going to look at her and say, I don't understand. What exactly did you want me to do? Because we are simple men. So if we get hit over the head, we come back and say, what did you want? What was I supposed to do? There was no chicken in the store. But if you come home and say, you know your chicken is the best. You know how much I wait for your chicken? And I don't want you to feel guilty. But I did that. I came to the store and there was no chicken. I was devastated. I'm not going to have your chicken for Shabbos. No, but you know... You took the personal aspect, you injected it in the conversation. If you come home and you say, oh, there were no chicken in the store, what's her answer going to be? So what am I supposed to make you for Shabbos? And you'll say, well, whatever you make for yourself, you can make for me. That's perfectly fine. Right? So we're still going to discuss that. She asked you a real question when she asked that question. Because when she hears there's no chicken, she hears, I can't make you what you want for Shabbos. And I'd like to make you what you want for Shabbos. For me, no. Whatever. But for you...
Aren't most people less particular? I mean, like...
You will find out. If you think so, when you get married, email me. Tell me, you know, tone down that class. I listen.
I'm saying, like, I've got Shabbos without chicken and...
What? You have
You're right, that's not the point. Okay, we will still get back to this point. You should make a